Thanks for coming, everyone. I'm Stephanie Orsted. I have no relationships to disclose for this project. And in the next two slides, I'll take you through two streams of rationale that have led me to the study that I'm discussing today. We have this vast literature that connects the neighborhood built environment with various physical activity outcomes. As you may know, residents who live in neighborhoods with higher population density, more connected street networks, a greater mix of commercial and residential land uses, and access to recreational facilities report higher levels of physical activity. Things like safety from traffic and crime and perceived disorder may also be important predictors of physical activity. There are two ways that the neighborhood built environment tends to be measured. And by objective or observed, I'm referring to geographic information systems data and street audit data, and perceived tends to refer to the self-report or survey data collected about people's environments. These two types of measures tend to be moderately correlated in the literature, but it's important to point out that recent literature suggests that they predict unique variance in physical activity outcomes. There's also ecological models of health behavior that suggest that perceptions of the neighborhood may actually mediate associations between objective built environment variables and physical activity outcomes. There have only been a few studies to date that have looked at these mediated associations and have demonstrated that perceptions mediate. However, we really have a not very good understanding of how perceptions may help explain these associations. The second stream, rationale stream, has to do with another known predictor of physical activity, which is depressive symptoms. People who report higher depressive symptoms also tend to report lower levels of physical activity. And there are a few explanations that are out there conceptually for why this might be the case. People with depression often have lower intention to be physically active and may have lower ability to translate that intention into behavior. But there's another reason why depressive symptoms may matter for physical activity, and that's their interaction with the perceptions of the neighborhood environment. So people with depressed mood tend to report worse perceptions of the same neighborhood than people without depressed mood. And when you start to think about the implications for physical activity for that, you might think that depressive symptoms could potentially moderate the associations not only between the perceived built environment and physical activity, but the mediated associations between objective built environment and physical activity. So for me, this is culminated in a conceptual model examining the interrelationships of these four constructs, which I'll break down in the next two slides. The first aim of this study looked at mediation of these pathways. So what I'm referring to as observed neighborhood environment variables, the extent to which they're associated with walking, in this case, both directly and indirectly via perceptions of the neighborhood environment. Aim two of this study looked at the extent to which depressive symptoms may moderate each of these effects. And I started with a model that proposes that each of these effects may be potentially moderated, and then pared the model down from there. This study involved a secondary data analysis of data from the Chicago Community Adult Health Study, so data collected right here in the city of Chicago. It was originated as a population study examining the influence of residential context on socioeconomic and racial health disparities. Data was collected between 2001 and 2003 from adults 18 years of age and older living in 343 urban Chicago neighborhoods. They oversampled 80 neighborhoods to better represent the racial and socioeconomic heterogeneity of Chicago. There were two data collection methods that made up this study. They occurred simultaneously. The first was a face-to-face survey of nearly 3,000 residents, in which interviewers asked about aspects of their health, behavior, and neighborhood. The physical activity outcome of interest in this study is the average minutes of walking over the past year spent for leisure or exercise that occurred at least 20 minutes consecutively. Depressive symptoms was derived from the 11-item Center for Epidemiological Studies Depressive Symptoms Scale, and perceived neighborhood environment variables were derived from single or scaled survey items with 4-point Likert response options. And for example, if you consider park access, residents were asked to rate their neighborhood and whether it had places such as parks for people to be physically active. The second data collection method was a systematic social observation of the neighborhoods in which these participants resided, where interviewers simultaneously and systematically collected information on aspects of block and street segments within these neighborhoods. There were six observed neighborhood environment variables examined, including recreational facilities, commercial destinations, heavy traffic, residential security, physical disorder, and physical deterioration. And as an example, the recreational facilities variable was defined as the proportion of blocks within the neighborhood with a park, playground, or sports field or court present. We used multiple linear regression, controlling for person-level covariates as well as neighborhood-level socioeconomic status. And then we used mediation and moderation. We tested for mediation and moderation. By taking 10,000 bootstrap samples to generate 95 bias-corrected confidence intervals of the indirect effects using a process macro for SAS. We then plotted significantly moderated effects at the mean plus or minus one standard deviation of depressive symptoms. And on to the results. So the next 6 slides overview the results of this study. You'll notice that there was no evidence of a direct association between any of the observed neighborhood environment variables and the walking outcome. But you'll see here that perceived park access mediated positive associations between recreational facilities and walking, and inverse associations between physical disorder and physical deterioration and walking. That is, people who lived in neighborhoods with more rec facilities and less physical deterioration and deterioration and disorder perceived greater park access and engaged in more walking. Secondly, perceived traffic danger mediated associations, positive associations between commercial destinations and physical disorder and walking. So people who lived in areas with more commercial destinations and more physical disorder perceived more traffic and walked more. Perceived danger to walk alone at night mediated associations between physical disorder and physical deterioration and walking. So people who lived in areas of greater physical disorder and deterioration perceived that there was less safety and therefore walked less. Here begins the results for the AIM-2, so the moderated mediation. And I can break down this slide for you. The perception of traffic danger also mediated associations between recreational facilities and walking. It was an inverse association that was only significant among those reporting the lowest depressive symptom scores. So it was not significant among medium and high depressive symptoms. you could say that less depressed residents who lived in areas of higher rec facilities perceived greater traffic, perceived less traffic, and walked less. Secondly, perceived disorder mediated associations between observed rec facilities and walking, and also positive associations between perceived disorder and perceived deterioration and walking, but this was only the case among people who reported the highest depressive symptoms. It was not significant among medium to low depressive symptoms. So another way to say this is those with the highest depressive symptoms living in areas of fewer recreational facilities and greater physical activity or physical deterioration and physical disorder perceived greater physical disorder and walk more in their neighborhood. I know it takes a while to sink in because these aren't necessarily what we might see or expect. So there was support for the AIM-1 hypothesis that perceptions mediated associations between observed built environment and physical activity outcomes. They contribute to this small evidence base that I mentioned, that perceptions do matter for explaining associations between our neighborhood and our walking. The AIM-2 hypothesis was also supported in that mediated associations were moderated. Within these moderated indirect effects, not only did depressive symptoms affect how participants perceive their neighborhood, so this first path in the indirect effect was significantly moderated, but also depressive symptoms affected whether their perceptions actually translated into behavior. So this second path of the indirect effect there's evidence that was also significantly moderated. Those with depressive symptoms likely experienced their neighborhood differently, and perceptions may have unique implications for their walking behavior. But we need more research before we can begin to understand what patterns exist in these types of associations. And also studies to address the limitations in this study, including its cross-sectional nature and the fact that we didn't know where these people were walking or for what reason necessarily. It is safe to say, though, that depressive symptoms and neighborhood perceptions should be factored into physical activity conceptual models, and also that once we know a bit more, physical activity interventions, including physical activity-based interventions for depression, should include neighborhood design strategies as well as methods on the outside, as well as methods to enhance individuals' perceptions of their own neighborhood for walking. I'd like to acknowledge my committee members at the University at Purdue University and the University of Massachusetts Boston, also the Chicago Community Adult Health Study, participants, investigators, and personnel involved in this data collection, and the IT and Data Security Specialist at Purdue University. Thanks for your attention.
Yes.
I was just going to make a comment. I moved from New Mexico to Chicago. I grew up around here, but coming back, I see the contrast of how getting outside is dependent on the weather so much. And so, you know, I think this study would look a lot different in, say, Southern California or whatever. And so I wonder if that, you know, if that's something to explore a little further. For this area, but like, you know, November to March. So, and I know that you didn't talk with people individually. This is information that you got. But I just wanted.
Right. We didn't control for weather. Data was collected throughout the season, so there was some variability, I guess, in that sense. But you make a good point about, I feel myself wanting to hibernate more and more as the weather gets colder.
I just wonder what you think about the implications of measurement in terms of a built environment and active living, with including the objectives and then the perception of environment. Do we need to do both, or do you feel like, based on your research, one may be more important than the other moving forward?
That's a question I've been very interested in. So she's asking, do objective measures of the built environment as well as perceptions, should we be including them both when examining physical activity, or is one more important than the other? And that was actually a question that I asked in a systematic review that I recently completed, where I looked at only studies that had included a conceptually matched objective and perceived neighborhood variable in the model and looked at associations with the same physical activity outcomes. So whether they were run in the same model together or in parallel models, you could start to tease out which effects or which associations were significant for perceived or objective, or which weren't significant and were. And after all of that, it really came out that they're both important, maybe in a little bit different ways. Like we saw a more consistent significant associations between some of the observed neighborhood and built environment variables that you might think about in terms of walking in your neighborhood. So intersection density, street population density, and land use mix tended to be more frequently associated with those types of outcomes, the walking and the biking for transport. But on the other hand, you know, we saw kind of this preference for perceptions when looking at, when predicting physical activity outcomes that had to do with recreation or leisure. For example, perceiving access to recreational facilities is really important. Even if your neighborhood isn't supportive of those things. So, to sum up, yes, I think we should be looking at both of them, but also to be thinking carefully about conceptually how these things go together.
Thank you, Stephanie. Mm-hmm.